paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
April 1970, on the 11th, Apollo 13 lifted off. Commanded by astronaut Jim Lovell, the return to Earth was April 17. And the young 42-year-old pilot Jim Lovell made it back home safely with his crewmates. Good morning, Commander. How you doing?
I'm doing quite good, Bob.
And do you believe it's been 50 years at this point?
Well, I'm getting kind of old myself, so I know a lot of time's gone by. But I'm glad that I'm still here to hear about it and see about it and think about it.
You know, it's hard to believe it was 1970, April, and when the launch happened, well, it wasn't until about 2 days into the mission that anyone really cared. The TV networks didn't even carry your video from space, did they?
No, we did a TV thing in the lunar module. We sent it down to NASA, the mission control. They fed it out to all three networks. No one carried it.
And let's see, you were 42 back then, so at 92 now. I know you're in great shape. You sound great. You look great. What are your secrets? What's your diet and exercise secret?
Well, I try to walk every day. I have a dog here who wants to go out, so I helped him out, and maybe that helps me out kind of a bit. But I'm feeling my age now at 92.
Well, you're entitled. And are you wishing that you were in outer space these days?
No, I'm wishing that. I've been thinking about that all the times I had in outer space, but I'm leaving this up to the younger people now.
By the way, just to be safe and healthy, are you in your spacesuit and helmet all the time these days?
Maybe I should be up with this virus going around.
How are you spending your time? How are you spending your days quarantined?
Well, just like everybody else, I'm spending most of my time in the house. My daughter, with all her protective gear, goes over and gets my wife Marilyn and I the food for the house. But I do take the dog out every day, and I walk to the park, try to keep him away from everybody else. And my dog doesn't quite understand what's going on, but I get my exercise that way. And then I talk to friends on the internet and various people. And of course, this is a time to celebrate the 50th anniversary. And actually, before the virus came here, we were going to be down in the JSC in Florida Kennedy Space Center in Florida to celebrate the 50th anniversary. The day before that, I was going to celebrate it with the Grumman people who built the lunar module. And of course, a week before that, I was going to go out to Hutchinson, Kansas, where the Apollo 8 spacecraft is now on display, and say goodbye to that spacecraft, because I probably won't see it again. But things have all changed now, and basically I'm just waiting for Apollo 13 to run around, to come around to see if things go drastic with me again.
Well, what precautions would you take in space to make sure if someone on the crew got sick, they wouldn't pass it on and infect the other astronauts? You couldn't exactly keep 6 feet apart in the capsule.
Well, no, if this occurred way back in, say, Apollo 13, and all of a sudden they thought there was the virus going around, but we had already launched, we would either all three get it or all three be very, lucky that we didn't get together, because we were too close together.
And once and for all, to clear it up, Houston, we've had a problem, was actually something someone else on your crew said first, correct?
That's right. When the explosion first occurred, I was still in the lunar module, And I didn't know what happened. And I looked up at Fred Hayes, who was in the lunar module, and I could tell from his expression he had no idea. And then I looked down at Jack Swigert. Jack's eyes were as wide as saucers. He didn't know what was going on, but he did say to Jack Lazma, who was the CAPCOM down at Mission Control, he says, Houston, we have a problem here. Then I got down into the spacecraft, saw that two fuel cells had already gone off the line, and they were required to produce electricity. And I said, Houston, we have a problem. We have a main B bus on our hold.
Yep, the famous line. Jim, hang on. We got to take care of a little business here, and then we'll get back to you. And I'm wondering, how come our communication between you and you're in the north suburbs of Chicago and me isn't as good as the quality of the sound was from the moon?
Well, I guess we're going in reverse of technology.
I had to play the soundtrack again, Jim. It's still sounding good. Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell with us, recognizing the 50-year anniversary of that famed mission. And good news for Mission Control, Jim. We've got a better phone line. How about that?
I'm surprised because I'm on my iPhone, which normally is never any good.
How about that? Jim, didn't something go wrong on one of your missions previous to Apollo 13 where you hit a switch or something by mistake and then you had to reprogram the navigation system and that turned out to be a helpful experience for 13? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, that's right. On Apollo 8, on the way home, I was getting to be quite accurate at being a navigator. In fact, I was like playing a piano, and I hit the wrong button by mistake. Told the guidance system and the spacecraft that we were back on the launch pad waiting for takeoff. and suddenly the eight ball went bananas, and everybody was scared by two companions. But fortunately, I was trained to realign the platform and did that, and that was a real helpful thing, because on the way up back on Apollo 13, we had to turn off the guidance system. We didn't even know whether we'd come back on again, whether we get too cold or something. We did. The guidance system got back on proper thing procedures. We got our position in space again, and made a successful launch, our landing through the atmosphere into the Pacific.
You flew on two Gemini missions and two Apollo flights. I know for you, Apollo 8, not 13, is the one you think of as the highlight of your career. Why? Because it was so dangerous, such a dangerous mission?
Yes, there were two different missions. Apollo 8 was the first flight to the moon. It was the first flight that we could see the far side of the moon. I felt like it was more like a Lewis and Clark expedition, looking at new territory and everything like that. And when I got to look at the Earth 240,000 miles away, my whole thoughts and philosophy on our being to see my home planet this far away and figuring out just how do I fit into that whole thing made a whole difference to me. 13, of course, was one of a challenge. It was really an entirely different mode. Yes, 13 was a real challenge both for the flight crew and for Mission Control to take an almost unknown of procedure to turn it around and make a successful recovery.
Have you talked to Tom Hanks lately?
No, the last time I emailed Tom when he was in Australia, told when he got the virus that he wanted to have another Apollo 13.
And did I state this correctly? You felt that movie was a fairly accurate portrayal of what happened on Apollo 13, except for the arguing and the dispute among the crew members. That never happened, did it?
No, it didn't. But you see, they had to do something in the movie to emphasize stress. They just couldn't take a picture of a guy with perspiration coming down his face but saying nothing. And so this did show the stress of the flight, you know, trying to figure out how to get back home, knowing this, the total amount of danger that we were involved in. But that didn't show. But there are other times that was not shown in the movie where the three got kind of, you know, irritable at each other. And I finally had to just say, hey, we want to get home. Let's work together as a team.
Yeah, well, it was to be the third moon landing, 1970, 50 years ago. The launch was April 11th, the return April 17th. And in the movie, now, I always recognized you at the end making that cameo as the captain of the recovery ship, and you shake hands with Tom Hanks. But then I read somewhere, and I haven't noticed this, that your wife, Marilyn, makes an appearance in there, and also Gene Kranz. I haven't spotted them. They're in there?
Yes, my wife and my daughter was in the scene at the launch of Apollo 13. She was in the stand with a bunch of other people with the actress who played Fred Hayes' wife.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look for that.
And so but they were just part of the audience looking at the launch.
I'll have to check that out, because whenever that movie comes on, so ably directed by Ron Howard, I watch it over and over and over again. My wife thinks I'm completely crazy, but I really enjoy that movie. Do you ever watch it?
Not recently, no. I'll tell you what I do. When I sit down here at my desk and I go over to the computer, I go to Yahoo or something like that, and I play the music.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it's a great soundtrack. Well, these are tough times, and we're all trying to stay healthy and occupied. And Jim, you could always find somewhere on one of the sports channels some replay of the 2005 World Series with the Sox playing your Houston Astros, unless you don't want to relive that again.
Yeah. No, I think I'll look at something else.
By the way, you and Marilyn have been married, what is it, 62 years now?
More like 67. We got married in 1952.
Wow. The Astronaut Corps is not known for long, happy marriages. What's been your secret?
Well, I think we had a good life together, and that she was very supportive of everything I wanted to do. She hung with me when I got in the space program, and after that program, and so here we are. She's almost 90 years old now, and I'm 92.
Well, you guys are doing something right, I'll tell you. And by the way, up there in Lake Forest, if anybody's craving comfort food, I don't know what he's doing now. Is he just doing carryout? Because there's some great feel-good food available at your son Jay's Lake Forest restaurant.
That's right. As a matter of fact, you know, the turnaround, they're doing a lot of not takeout. People come to the restaurant in their cars. They've ordered it ahead of time, and then they bring out the food to the people, and it's not a bad business now. They're doing not as best as before, but you know, they're hanging in there.
Well, because of the pandemic and all the stress, I am needy. My sweet tooth is working in overdrive, and he's got some great pies and desserts up there. I may have to make a little trip up.
Yeah, they have good pies.
Well, Jim, hard to believe, I guess, for you that it's been 50 years. I appreciate you taking some time to reminisce about that. Glad you're staying safe and healthy inside like the rest of us. And I'm sure you feel stranded just like you did up on Apollo 13 50 years ago.
I guess so. And, of course, every day I'm waiting for this pandemic to end so we can all live a normal life again.
Well, here's a little bit of that music you were talking about to make us all feel better. It's astronaut Jim Lovell, the commander, the captain, and always a pleasure talking to you, Jim. Best to the family. Hi to Marilyn, please.
Thank you very much, Bob. I will do that.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Tell you something, when I talk to him, I feel like I do when I talk to ball players. I just go back to being like, you know, 12 years old and just in awe. I mean, yeah. There's one of your heroes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And Bob, you're not the only one. Every time that movie comes on, I watch it as well.
Yeah, it's great.
Right there. He's just a national treasure.
And then when the capsule comes back and you hear this music, I mean, it's a goosebumper every time.
I got goosebumps right now listening to it.
Yeah, love it. We'll perform our reentry and make way for John Williams coming up after the news, next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.